Good morning. I'd love to welcome you all here this morning on First Advent. Please turn in your bulletins to the call to worship. It's kind of buried in the back underneath of this coming week at NKMC. Let's wait till most of you found it. We live in troubled times, waiting for God's burst of light into our dark world. Liberating God, sustain us and help us to walk in your ways.
Free us from the chains of prejudice and the shackles of sin.
This is the moment to wake from sleep. Be ready. Jesus is coming to set us free. Let us worship God, whose mercy promises us new life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like to take a moment to introduce the theme of Advent to everybody. I'm just going to read through what is also an insert in your bulletins. So this Advent, our theme is Freedom is Coming. And this Advent season is a time of incredible hope as we reflect on how God's coming in Jesus releases us from personal, social, and historical chains that bind us. We live in the paradox that we are both bound by the effects of sin and free as we celebrate the hope Jesus came to bring. God's freedom takes us down pathways of justice, mercy, trust, love, service, and inclusion. And each of the Sundays during the Advent season and through to Epiphany, we'll be looking at one of those things, justice, mercy, trust, love, service, and inclusion. This year, we want to look at God's gifts of freedom each Sunday as we address the bondage experienced by people around the world. First Nations issues, refugees, imprisonment, abuse of power, illness, and poverty are all among the things that keep us and our neighbors bound. Advent is typically seen as a time of waiting, but this year, we are reminded that in our waiting, we are called to participate with the Christ child in actively bringing freedom to our world. As we light the first Advent candle, let's sing Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, which is also an insert. And we will sing all three verses.
Praise the Lord who preaches grace.
I'd like to thank Christian Zacharias for lighting the Christ candle for us today. Just take a moment to welcome everyone who has come to this service today. Are there any guests that need to be introduced? No? Well, we welcome you all here. There's a few announcements that would like to be highlighted. There are many, many things going on at this time of year in the church, and there are a few that need special highlighting, which is the youth is having its annual intergenerational Christmas potluck on Wednesday the 16th at 6 o'clock, and there are sign-up sheets in the back foyer, and so if you're planning on attending, the youth would like for you to sign up so they know how many people to anticipate. And then there's also Erin Fest taking place Saturday, December 5th. And also the ladies' Christmas celebration is December 6th. We're going to move into the sharing time now. Is there anybody who has something they would like to share?
I feel very formal. I just wanted to give you an update on what's going on in our lives. My last announcement perhaps was not very coherent. Eric and I are going to this church in Ontario in 2 weeks for a weekend to candidate, after which the following Sunday they will vote and we will have to decide. So by Christmas we will know whether we are making a very large move next summer or not. We're hoping that things go well. I am very excited. I'm getting more excited about the opportunity to actually be a pastor. It's something I've been working toward and waiting for and struggling with for many, many years, as most of you know. So I want to thank you for all the hugs I've gotten, all the good wishes, all the please don't goes. of course, we would obviously miss you too. Regardless, we will be around, I think, till next summer. We're not moving the girls in the middle of the school year. So we may not be around next Sunday, and then obviously we won't be the next week. So we will for sure give you an update on what happens in the next few weeks. So thanks again, and please continue to pray for us.
Yes, let's all remember to keep Janet and the family in our prayers. I should make a note that there is no children's story. So I just noticed there are some kids in the congregation. So if you're coming down, you should go down to Sunday school. Yes, I know there. Elfrida would like to share.
Okay, I just want to thank my family for being there for me and the church family. And thank God that it was not worse. We could have come home in a body bag. Thank you.
Yes, we're all very glad to see you here today. In a wheelchair, but you're still here. That's great. Is there anybody else that has something they'd like to share? Oh, yes, over here.
Good morning. Luis and I would like to say one thing, and that is we're so happy to be back again with our church family. It has been a long, long time. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Is there anybody else that would like to share? I have a few things out of the bulletin that I would like to share with everybody. Let's continue to keep John Martin's in our prayers. He's at Riverview Hospital, and I think it's going day by day with him, so I know the family and him would appreciate your prayers. And then we'd also like to continue to pray for Walter and Helen Fast as Walter goes in for surgery, and Hildegard Wiens as well, as she waits for her chemotherapy treatments to begin. And I'd like to just highlight number 5. We did it! We raised the money for the electric wheelchair. I think that's wonderful. You guys, we heard a call for help, and we responded so quickly. So I think we should all feel great that this was done, and hopefully that Rosabella Perdomo will be able to use the wheelchair or the electric scooter. I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I hope that it is a blessing for her. And then we also have some congratulations for Anna and Rudolph's son, Florian Sawatsky, who's engaged to Ulrika Falk. So I'm not sure, do we have any other details or just that they're engaged? That's great to celebrate. So we're going to sing a hymn now, number 189 in the blue hymnal, "To Us a Child of Hope is Born." And we will sing all three verses. Let us pray. God of Advent, in the darkest days and nights of the year, our hearts turn toward your promised light. Please be with those in our church who are sick or in mourning. Please be with John Martins, Walter Fast, Hildegard Wientz, and all their families as they face illness and surgeries. Please be with those who are celebrating anniversaries, births, and engagement. Help us not to fear the shadows in our own lives, and help us to have courage to face what binds us and keeps us from living in the freedom of Christ. With the first faint glimmer of a single candle dancing into the light of many bright flames, our hope is ignited once more. Lead us in your light to a manger where the face of God, truth, justice, and mercy shines bright and clear. Amen.
Waiting, waiting, waiting for the light. Waiting, waiting, waiting for the light. Emmanuel is coming to lead us through the night. We are waiting.
We are waiting for the light.
For the scripture reading, I will read Jeremiah 33:14-16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. And 1 Thessalonians 3:9-13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for you to come. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Don't you just love Advent? It's so festive. We get the choir up here, and I think I'll stand over here close to the tree. We get the tree and the decorations. And this year it's that much more special that Lucy can be with us and Frida is back. We're together. We all become a family when we sit together and we celebrate. It's wonderful. There's something about Advent that brings out the child in all of us. And it's almost like something almost magical. Well, at least we'll say that we believe that miracles can happen and that God can make changes. And it's a good thing we think that way, because that's what Christmas is about. Jesus did not come to establish status quo. Everything's going to stay the same. He came to shake things up. Not just Bethlehem, our whole world, and North Kildonan Mennonite Church, and your lives, and mine too. Jesus comes every year to kind of shake us a little bit, to give us a new perspective. He's coming, the text says, to bring freedom, which is really cool. And in Jeremiah 33:15, it talks specifically about justice, mishpat, for those of you who speak Hebrew. The only problem here is that God's not just. In the Old Testament, there were lots of covenants which were contracts. God says, I'll do this if you do that. If you don't, watch out. And you know what? Sure enough, they didn't. What does God do? He forgives. Didn't get them like he promised he would. When Jonah was sent to Nineveh, and Jonah said to God, I shouldn't go to Nineveh. You should just blast them off the earth. Jonah was right. And God was wrong. They deserved to be blasted off the earth. God's not just. Jesus is no better. John chapter 8, woman caught in the act of adultery. I realize this is a bit of an iffy text, but when they brought the woman to Jesus, it was very, very, very clear what the law said to do with her. She should be stoned, period. Does Jesus stone her? No. He forgives her. And then he points to all these people who brought her there out of the kindness of their heart and said, you guys, I want to talk to you for a minute. And on the other side, there's the Pharisees. The Pharisees did everything right. You look at the rule book, they tick everything, every line's got a tick on it. They did it all. And so when they come to Jesus with his big smile and say, what do we need to do to get into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus should have said, you done it all, boys. You did it good. In you go. But what does he say? No. I want you to take all your money, the money you got for an inheritance, the money you worked so hard for, give it all to the poor and come and follow me. Now, that's not even fair. They did all the right things, And that's not even fair. In the world around us, we understand justice. And you can correct me later, Vic. We understand justice as there's a set of rules that we live by that we generally understand are good. And then there's consequences if you don't follow them. And if you don't believe me, when you leave church, go quite a ways from the church, but, and you see a little car with these lights on top, go zooming by them as fast as you can. This very nice person will stop and look in your window and smile. There's not a lot of room for compromise or dialogue at that point. It's fairly clear what happens. I'm assuming those of you who are smile have experienced this. And that's justice. That's how what should happen when we do things that are inappropriate. There's also justice on a larger scale. There's international justice, and so what ISIS does falls outside of that. So the other nations say, there's a mistake, we've got to go set it right. ISIS says, we have a different rule book, and in our rule book, we're doing things right. But God doesn't follow that kind of justice. The picture of that is Lady Justice. You know the statue of the lady with, she's got a blindfold on, which indicates she's going to be impartial. She's holding scales in her right hand, which means everything's going to be fair. And what she got in her left hand? Do you know? Sword. A sword to bring about consequences when you make a mistake. And it's really interesting to me that that statue is almost universal. Many countries around the world have that. Because that's a picture of justice. That's called retributive justice. But that's different than the justice that Jesus came to bring. The justice Jesus came to bring is rooted in relationship. It's all about how do we put things back together. The question that's asked isn't how do we make you pay for what you did wrong, but what do we need to do to get you reconnected? Remember Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And if you put a period there, you have retributive justice. That's fair. You made a mistake, now you pay. Just how it goes. But God doesn't stop there. Puts a but on the end, but the gift of God is eternal life. Why does he do that? Because God's goal is to bring us back into relationship. Don't get me wrong. The justice system we have is wonderful. We live in an amazing country. It works well. God works differently. That's all I'm saying. And so, God reaches out to care for us. Now, the motive for this isn't, it's fair. The motive is this, and if we go through the Old Testament, almost all the law codes have this. Every time there's a bunch of laws, it starts off by saying, do you remember what God did for you? Called Abraham, brought you out of the slavery, gave you the law, gave you the promised land. And he goes on with this long list. There's I think the last one in the Bible is in Acts 6, when Stephen is being stoned. He's telling the people all the good things that God has done. And then God says when he's finished all that, so, since I did all that for you, how about you forgive this person that doesn't deserve to be forgiven? How about you cut this person a little bit of slack? How about you focus on relationship instead of just on what's fair? And he invites us to see things a little larger. The Pharisees looked at retributive justice. Jesus looked at what's called restorative justice. Bring us back into relationship, making things how God meant them to be. If we look at the Old Testament, there's a couple of laws about Sabbath and Jubilee years. And the laws say that every 7 or 49 years, depending on which one you're reading, all your mortgages are canceled. That's a pretty cool one. All the slaves are free. All the land reverts to its original owners. How fair is that? Not fair at all. What is God doing with this? He's saying justice means things are as they ought to be. What does that mean for us in our world? If justice means that's relationally based and things are as they ought to be, then what that means is, as long as there are people who are starving, we still have some justice to work out. As long as there are people in refugee camps waiting to be sponsored, and I heard of one this last week, a church in Winnipeg here sponsored a refugee family that had been in a refugee camp for 20 years. 20 years waiting. Waiting for us, right? And according to God's justice, justice happens as we begin to address these situations. Justice, there is no justice if there is bigotry and racism and people thinking they're better than other people. Justice happens when we form relationships. And so as a church, and as churches in Winnipeg, and as many wonderful people do, what do? We help out at Silo Mission. And we sponsor refugees, and some people pack up shoebox gifts. And there's just umpteen things that we do that we can reach out to care for people. We care for the neighbor beside us even when they're crotchety. We work at building a relationship with them. One of the areas of where justice has struggled is in relation to the Indigenous people in Canada. There have been a lot of injustices that have happened over the years. There have been broken treaties. There have been outright lies. There have been attempts at exterminating the people, eradicating the culture. People have done a lot of inappropriate things. There has been injustice that's happened. Even the Mennonites are involved. Can you believe this? No. There are documented cases of the government taking away land from the Native or Métis people and giving it to the Mennonites. The Mennonites didn't ask anything. They just took the land and worked hard and were grateful for all that they made. Or in the 60s school, there were Mennonite families who took in these children and said, isn't that wonderful, without asking, what happened here? We need to ask those hard questions. We need to have things done right. So how do we fix the situation? How do we bring justice with the Indigenous people in Canada? Oh my goodness. The government's been working at some stuff. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission was an attempt. The working at the inquiry about the missing and murdered Aboriginal women and girls that they're now talking about is another way. There are a lot of organizations that try to listen and understand culture and respond. There's lots of things. But how do we fix the whole thing? I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not sure who does. But what's the root of justice? God's justice. Relationship, right? So that I know. I know how to treat the Indigenous people that are my neighbors, that I work with, that I encounter in different places. I know how to treat them with respect and dignity and understanding. I know how to be, I hope I know, how to be humble and respectful to other people as I deal with them. I know how to sit and listen to somebody when they're aching on the inside, even if I can't fix it, even if I don't understand it. We were doing that last Sunday when we celebrated Eternity Sunday. I know how to listen and weep with people, even if I can't fix it. That's the road to justice. That's the things we work on. Today, we come to the communion table to recognize God's justice to us. We don't deserve this, what he's given us. We don't deserve the way that he's invited us to be his children, his sons and his daughters. But he's done that. We were sinners, I said back in Romans 6:23, all that we are sinners and we deserve death. The gift of God. Back to grace, Ephesians 2. It's by grace we have been saved, not by faith. Nobody can boast. We used to be separate, people here and there, walls between us, and Jesus knocked all of those down. And so we come here because of God's justice. God reaching out to us and saying, okay, so you've done it wrong, but I'm still going to get in there and fix it because I want you to be my children, both between you and me and between each other. And that's what this symbolizes. And so today we come with a huge thank you to God for reaching out to connect with us, remembering that our thank you is not only the words, but our life. The thank you of our life is that we go out and treat others as God has treated us through Jesus Christ. Reaching out, caring, respecting, drawing into relationship so that we can be together God's family. And so come, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are worthy, but because through Jesus' death on the cross, you and I are invited. Come not because you are strong and have everything sorted out in your life, but because you are weak and in need of Him. Not because we understand everything, but because we have become a part of God's family, justified by grace. Come. The Christ child is waiting. You and I are invited. Before I ask the caregivers and helpers to come and distribute the elements, I'd like to give a few basic instructions. We'd like to invite you as you pass the bread and the cup to give the, pass the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you as the response. For those of you who are gluten intolerant, you'll notice when the bread comes around, there's a little dish in the center with gluten-free crackers. Please take one of those. When the cup comes around, you'll notice that the inner circle is a little lighter color. That's juices as opposed to wine. So if you'd rather do that, then we would invite you to take that. I'd like to invite the caregivers to come and stand along here as we have the final words. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, God, for sending your Son Jesus. Thank you for Christmas and the freedom that it invites us to experience. Freedom from our sins, freedom in our relationship with you, freedom with each other. Fill us with the joy of the season. Has everyone who would like to participate received? Then I invite you to take this bread with joy, thinking about God's incredible love for you in sending his Son. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, God, for the new covenant that you have established, the way that you have poured your love into our hearts so that we, like you, can reach out to issue justice in our world. Thank you for the sisters and brothers that continue to connect with. Is everyone who would like to participate received the cup? I invite you to take this in Jesus' name, knowing that you are deeply loved, our Father.
Can you join with me in turning in the blue hymnal to song number 209? Oh, how joyfully. And we will sing verses 1 in German, 2 in English, and 3 in German. And let's stand.
Thank you.
as you enter this Advent season with its joys and disappointments, with its negative memories and its hopes. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
As ascending, let's sing the song Freedom is Coming. It fits with the theme of our Advent season. And we will sing Freedom, Jesus, Justice, and Freedom Again. And I will lead the song the whole way through. So if you just wait a second and let me sneak to the back when the song is over, that would be appreciated. Thank you.